Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for yet another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And I was telling the folks up here in Seattle, 770 KTTH, our first, the flagship, if you will, first station we started broadcasting the show on. But I was telling them in the 3 minute warm up, I'm just pumped to be here today. And maybe it's because you're starting to see some stress in markets, and I'm not happy. Don't get me wrong. I get happy when things start making sense. It's too early to say we've turned that corner yet, but it's certainly starting to look that way. And we'll walk through all the reasons why. The other reason is because the Peninsula Youth Football Tiny Tykes, they got another game tomorrow, game's tomorrow at 5. So this show airs well before that, but I'm sure all of you will be waiting with bated breath, refreshing your phones constantly. And even though they don't track online third grade football scores, I think, like they should. But anyway, we're going to get to the market update. But this, first of all, it's a blast coaching second and third graders. But it really is a unique experience. And the way I describe it is, if you heard the analogy herding cats, this is like herding cats on methamphetamine. I am talking, you guys, about like 3 second attention spans. I was having a talk with one of my, we got so many great young kids on the team, but I was talking to one yesterday. We're only like 4 seconds into the conversation, mid sentence, the kid just starts staring off at something else. Something else caught his attention. I go grab him. I go, hey, stay here with me. Stay here with me. 3 seconds later, he's wandering. Anyway, it's fascinating. It's hilarious. Then you look over and they're dog piling over on the, anyway, it's, if you ever seen the movie, The Little Giants, you kind of get a feel for it. It's hilarious. So we got a big game tomorrow. Now I know this is all the important stuff you tune in for, right? We dropped a game last week cause I was out of town. My son, who's one of our best players, he was obviously with me. One of our other best players broke his leg, Emmett. I'm sure you're not listening to this show, but man, bummed out. Other player had 104 degree temperature. And so this is a bounce back week for us. Big time. We got to get it rolling if we want to make the playoffs, baby. So anyway, that was the update you all tuned in for. So we'll get into the boring part of the show here. You know, and I got to say this. And those of you who listen to the show for a long time, I really try to avoid politics as much as possible, unless they are directly linked into something, a financial talk we're talking about. And the reason why, if you know me, it's not because I'm apolitical. It's just, I've said this over and over and over again. This is a hard enough game to play when you have no bias. If you want to drag your political bias into investing, good luck. Because it's, right, politics by definition are ideological. Investing isn't, right? And I really don't have a better way to say that. And looking at something that is so non-ideological, I mean, it can be at times, but, you know, looking at something like finance and looking at it through an ideological lens is how you get into a lot of trouble. Having said that, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this because it's a trend that I'm seeing that really troubles me. This whole Russell Brand thing, look, I don't know the guy personally. I'm not going to stand up and call accusers of his liars. I'm not going to say any of that. I don't know enough, and I don't want to. Well, here's what I will say. I find it very troubling that in the same week, investigations have been opened on him. Or no, he isn't being investigated yet, but he's being accused. He's accusers, just anonymous accusers at this point. He's already been demonetized on YouTube, okay? The DOJ has opened an investigation into Elon Musk. I think there's been plenty of things to investigate Elon Musk about for the last decade. All of a sudden, now's the time because in the last 2 years, he has made statements and been outspoken about what a ruse this whole thing is. What I'm saying is I don't see any celebrities getting the book thrown at them that are going with the party line, right? And it's not like with this, and this isn't concern, you know, Elon Musk isn't a card carrying Republican. Russell Brand certainly isn't. I'm not saying to me, it's not a political issue. What's really troubling me. And look, law of averages, some of these people that are getting blacklisted probably deserve it. But it's just interesting to me. You sit back and anybody that goes after the status quo, anybody that attacks the prevailing narrative, they all just seem to end up with legal trouble. Isn't that interesting? And I think it's scary. And just like we're talking about here in the Daily Dots, talking about, you know, memorializing these things, walking through and paying attention and keeping a track, you know, keeping track of the trajectories and how these things unfold, I think we'd all be remiss. And this isn't a political issue, right? It's a societal issue. It's what kind of society do we want? Do we want to uphold the tenets of the Constitution? Do we value personal liberty above all else? And I think when you start looking at these things, it's there's a very troubling sign here that if you stand against authority, which again was the bedrock of what built this country, it was called the revolution, right? Speaking up to authority, taxation without representation, all of these things are akin to that. And I just think, and that's why I don't want to make it a right or left issue. Because I think all of us across the political divide need to establish rules and go, wait a second, man, politically motivated. And I will admit, I'm not saying they all are. But I think you have to be a blind man not to recognize the trend. Right? You start speaking out publicly and you got a big platform, look over your shoulder, shots are coming. And that's troubling to me. And it would be troubling to me regardless of who was in power. And politically, that's what frustrates me so much today, because I see this perfect opportunity for people that would historically consider themselves on the left and people that historically would consider themselves on the right to sit there and go, you know what, let's set aside our little differences here. The one thing both of us, we all agree on is freedom, personal liberty above all else, right? Freedom of speech, you know, all of these things. And I really hope rather than this continued fracturing, the sensible middle can come together and go, okay, look, it's time to be the adults in the room here. I'm probably hoping too much, but anyway, so let's move on to this. What did we notice this week in markets? Well, guys, the timing of these things is really bizarre, right? Why all of a sudden did you have a rough week on Wall Street? You tried to rally today. I'll pull up the indexes right now. I haven't been watching them closely, but we were up solidly to start the session, and we were climbing into that, and then we really started pulling back. So we're bouncing a little bit today. This is a really nasty, messy market, which really doesn't bode well. Breath still stinks. Anyway, I don't know what reality hit markets today or this week, because it has not been a very good week. I think you're down about 2.5%, something like that. Yields obviously going up. I don't know why they're all of a sudden going up. It's just a very strange environment where it looks like the market is all operating off of this quote unquote soft landing, and there's just nothing there. There's the only thing that says soft landing are the price of equities. That's it. Every other leading indicator, we had another one go, and don't quote me on this. I should have had it written down. But durable goods orders, I think that this is correct. I'll check it and I'll amend it next week if I'm wrong on the data. But I believe 5 out of 6 of the last months you've seen declines in durable goods orders. Durable goods, think of appliances, things you buy that last multiple years. The last time, every single time that has happened where you've had 5 out of 6 months of declining durable goods orders, you have had you've had a recession. 8 out of 8 of the last times, now durable goods orders are part of this, but 8 out of 8 of the last times over the last 100 years or so that you've seen leading economic indicators doing what they are doing, which is heading south. And I think it's for the last 7 months or something like that. 8 out of 8 times that that's happened in the past, you've had a recession, 100% on durable goods orders. right? Tens and threes, 10-year treasuries and three-month treasuries have been inverted now for 211 days, I want to say. Longest on record. Any time they have ever been inverted for more than 3 months, you've had a recession. Anytime the yield curve has been this inverted, it got the most inverted in history. 100% of the time, you've had a recession. You've literally ticked off now every single 100% correlation to recessions that we've had in the past. And we're in a year, like I've been pounding the table on, where earnings, revenues, and margins are all declining on an inflation-adjusted basis anyway. I think revenues are up slightly on an inflation-adjusted basis. They're down. Earnings are down. Margins are down. Interest rates up sharply. It's just, you've never seen a market in these conditions behave this way. It's really remarkable. And it's not, it really isn't surprising when you think about what's happened. Longest bull market, biggest bull market in history, capped off with the largest fiscal handoff or largest fiscal transfer of wealth in history, largest fiscal stimulus, largest deficits run. And when you look at the markets this year, I think that that's really the only reason you're green. I think the only reason you're green is you had the $350 billion bailout to the banks. The refinance vehicle that the Fed put up there for the regional banks. You had lower because, and we talk about this in the interview we did today with Stephen Miron of the Manhattan Institute, PhD in economics from Harvard, worked at the Treasury Department. He's been a policymaker inside the Fed, inside the Treasury, knows these people, has worked with them, also runs a hedge fund. We do an interview with him today you're not going to want to miss. It was a little bit of a roundtable. Chase joined me for that interview, and we just picked his brain. He's a great guy, brilliant thinker, and you're not going to want to miss that interview. But it's remarkable the amount of, you know, everybody's like, oh, rates are going up. Well, they are, but you counterbalance that with the bank bailouts, right? Tax brackets are adjusted to inflation. Right. So because inflation was hot last year, tax brackets moved up and it effectively created like a Frankenstein stealth tax cut. So that was additive to the economy. Also, the inflation, the Inflation Reduction Act, spending, lighting fires to put out fires, spending money to slow down inflation. Now, don't anybody call me. Sometimes they do backfires and things. I know, but you get my point. Thinking you're going to drown out a fire with gasoline. Let's put it that way. Right. All of those things have been stealth stimulative to the economy. And as Steve does a great job pointing out in the interview that we did today, it's sort of like a death ray being, you know, like the Death Star shooting the ray at the planet. And that fiscal stimulus has been kind of the shield at this point. But all of those stimulative effects, for the most part, roll off here at the end of this year, which lines up perfectly for our recessionary call. So, and the other thing, guys, about action, so much of last year, I was telling you guys constantly, look, when you have rates going up, when you have the dollar index above 105, you know, we call them the five horsemen of the financial apocalypse. When the horsemen are running, at that time, VIX at 30 or above, I forget what a couple of the other factors were. But when you have those things happening, structurally speaking, it's virtually impossible for stocks to go up, equities to go up, because too much is getting sucked out of the back end of the economy and getting sucked out of markets and things like that. Now with crude oil back above 90, dollar index really looks like it's breaking out again. Let's pull it back up here. I want to make sure we're on trend here. I mean, you got the dollar index at 105.56. The trend looks really bullish to me. It looks like it's going to go back up to 110 here, and which makes sense because you're hearing more and more stories of financial hardship. Rates have moved higher. That's going to create more financial stress. And like we've told you 100 times, when we're looking at the dollar index, I think the best way to look at the dollar index, and if you guys want to watch it at home, it's just a great way to look at stress in markets. Okay. Dollar index gets above 105, doesn't mean everything's about ready to collapse. What it does is sort of like the VIX breaking above 25. We're like, okay, we better keep our head in a swivel here. Something nasty can happen. Now, when you compare it, and here's where it can be hard in economy. We've said many times before, we now have a record of revenue coming from overseas. So when we look at revenue mixes for S&P 500 companies. You total revenues for S&P 500 companies, 40% of them come from overseas. Now, where it gets even more interesting is the biggest and most profitable companies in the S&P are the big tech companies, right? The Magnificent Seven, as they've been calling them, okay? They get 58% of their revenue from overseas. And for 90% of them, I mean, we're up against it here in the U.S. Europe looks like a basket case. I mean, that's been true for a while, but especially England is in recession. I think they're kind of leading the way, in my opinion. And you look at these profit estimates next year with the dollar index doing what it's doing at the same time that oil is breaking back above. Remember, when you're at this level with oil, every dollar that ticks up is coming straight out of consumer spending. And it's lowering profit margins, right? I think there's one of the reasons that Delta who was it? It was Delta and somebody else came out and revised their guidance lower and said, look, we're not going to hit the profit markets margins that we thought we were going to hit. They revised everything lower. FedEx, the move in FedEx this week was interesting. I didn't go through the quarter, so I'm speaking a little bit out of school. But they saw yet another decline in revenue. They beat on earnings, so the stock popped 5%. But they saw another decline in revenue and guided down again. Why that deserved a 5% pop, who knows? Maybe it was short covering or whatever. But, you know, a big reason why FedEx did that was oil. I don't know if they said that, but I mean, look at what FedEx does. You don't think oil matters to their bottom line? So you got oil rallying, you got rates up, you got the dollar index up. The horsemen are back. And, you know, if you want to be a bull, my argument to you would be wait until you see rates pull back a little and don't get bullish until the dollar index is below 105. I mean, that's kind of the way we see it. If these things stay at this place or continue to trend higher, I'll just tell you on a fundamental basis, you can throw all of those estimates of earnings out the way. I think they're ridiculous anyway. I still cannot figure out how in the world these people are coming up with 10% earnings increases in 2024. We can't even make it. But in this environment, forget about it. It's not going to happen. The other one too, just yields, right? You now have 30-year money going at 7.75 as of today. 10-year treasury now pay at the highest level it's been since 2006. How you stack up this much debt and think that these kinds of interest rates aren't going to create some real issues and break things, I don't know. But that's what the market seems to think. And then here's another one. The truth in housing. If you've been listening to this radio show for long enough, or if you have eyes, you've probably seen a very large discrepancy between the housing data that's being reported. You hear these housing bulls almost celebratory. Housing is bottomed. As a matter of fact, the median home price is up 4% over the last year. That report just came out today. Now, the minute I saw it, I started laughing because I was like, I got to dig into this to see where they're getting their data because this is ridiculous. And I've been telling you guys, don't listen to the news. But sometimes you're too close. You ever heard the old adage? Put a blindfold over a man or stand him 6 inches in front of an elephant and let him feel it, let him look at it, and then try to describe it, right? Sometimes I feel like that's what happens in markets. If you're too close to it, like I feel like I have been on this topic, you don't step back and go, oh, wait a second. Yeah, there. So I was kind of looking at the housing going, how in the world? Are they not watching, you know, listings, price reductions, time on markets, volumes being down almost 50%? These guys think housing prices are going up, but they're out of their minds. Well, here's what happened. Usually in a normal housing market, volumes are obviously much larger. They're pretty much double what they currently are. But the part of the housing market that is slowed the most, where the least amount of activity is going on, is that $600,000-$700,000 area and less than. Now, I think this is what's confusing people. The part of the housing market that's getting hit the hardest is the part that usually holds up the best. Usually in recessions, the big homes quit selling the most, right? That's where the drop-off is. Well, right now, that's not what's happening. And the reason why I've said this over and over the past several weeks is the only people that are transacting by definition are people that don't need credit and can afford it, right? So it's the higher end. Well, what does that mean? That means that the typical mix of housing, first of all, they always quote housing prices in terms of median, okay? Not average, median. And this isn't well enough understood. An average is where you take everything together, add it together, and then divide it by the number of units, right? You get a true average. That isn't what a median is. Let's say 100 homes sell, and you look at them from the cheapest house that sold and the most expensive house that sold, and you order them in that way. The median is just number 50. It's whatever is in the middle. So median does not give you any idea about the sample size, right? The amount that we're looking at. It just tells you what's in the middle. Well, if all of a sudden high-end homes are making up 30 to 40% more of that computation than they normally do, which is the case now, then you can easily have a scenario where overall housing prices have dropped 15%, but the median price is up 4%. And that's exactly what's happening. Okay? There are places that aren't imploding. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is don't believe it. It's nonsense. And I don't even think it's purposeful. It's just like we said on the show, just because you have a microphone in front of your face, and it's something I remind myself of every single time I do the show, just because you have a microphone in front of your face doesn't know you know what the heck you're talking about. I think anybody that's watched the news over the last 3 years has probably learned that. But I mean, this one is really comical. Well, Zach, how can median home prices be going up? Well, if I cut in half the amount of small houses that are built into that figure, and I double the amount of expensive houses that are over that figure, the median home price is going to be higher while all of them are down significantly from their top, right? It's just a function. So you get into an environment like this, median means nothing. It's a useless stat. Housing is down, and it's going to go down more. Is it going to be like 08, 09? No, I really don't think so. Have you reached the bottom of it? No, no. And guys, it's, and I'll repeat it. I've been saying it all along. It's just math. Go look at the median income level. If you're financing a house, say you buy a house for $500,000, put $100,000 down. Okay. So you're financing $400,000. You got good credit. You're financing $400,000. Okay. That mortgage is right around $2,800. You throw property taxes and you throw insurance in there. Depending on the house, depending on the property taxes, you're looking at $3,500 to $3,700 a month. Okay, that's for a $500,000 house. My first house that my wife and I bought for $260,000, it sold a year and a half ago for $520,000. Tiny little 1,600 square foot house in North Tacoma, right? No great digs. I ain't on a country club, I can promise you that. Okay, so can the median income afford a $3,700 mortgage? No. Median income in the state of Washington is what, $75,000? That would mean you think a bank would underwrite them where 65% of their disposable income every single month was needed to pay their mortgage? No. So what does that mean? It means that how, and I think both, but certainly it means either housing has to go down or rates have to go down. Both need to go down. And I don't really see them pulling rates down until housing and other prices drop. So hold on. Now we got to take a quick break. We pretty much got through the market update. I got a couple points to bring up after the break. Also, to let you guys know, you don't have to give us a call. We got our roadshow seminar coming up this week, 45 minutes. I walk through our process, show you how we have lowered cost, drastically lowered risk, and substantially increased upside in portfolios. We're going to walk you through our process, how we do it, go through the whole thing. Go to BorkCapitalManagement.com, sign up. It's free. Coming up next this week, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at KnowYourRiskRadio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to KnowYourRiskRadio.com.
If you're retired or headed there, is your portfolio positioned for a successful retirement? Well, with the state of the economy right now, risk management has never been more important. Join Bulwark Capital's Zach Abraham for his free live webinar this Thursday afternoon at 3 Pacific to learn how their risk management strategy and active management could potentially lower portfolio volatility for you.
Todd, protecting retirement portfolios against loss is our number one focus. Our live webinar breaks down the retirement planning process, which is especially important during the threat of a recession, uncertain interest rates, and increasing market volatility. Don't just ride it out. We actively manage every portfolio looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give you as much upside as possible.
Learn about Bulwark's risk management strategy and performance this Thursday afternoon at 3 Pacific. This live webinar is free, but space is limited. Register now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. So just to tie that up, if you've been listening to the show for a while, we used to do these seminars in person. And they really are no obligation. They don't cost anything. We don't put your name on a list and keep hammering you. At the end of it, if you send us an email and say you're interested in talking to us, great, we'll contact you. If not, we're going to leave you alone, okay? We're just very much believers in our process and how we do things. And so we do this. And it was great. I go out and meet people. Well, then COVID hit, right? Well, we thought that we were going to keep doing the in-person ones. We've just gotten such great feedback from doing the virtuals because I think it takes, right, it's even less commitment for you. We got busy lives. Doesn't cost anything. Doesn't put your name on a list. We're not going to be coming after you. But it allows you in a no-pressure situation. We don't pressure anyway. We want partners, not clients. But it puts you in a no-pressure situation, the ability to sit back and evaluate what we do, what our philosophy is, how we do it. And so by the end of that 45 minutes, you're going to have a very good – now, you're not going to know some of the specifics because, you know, like if we want to walk you through the mechanics of how our momentum portfolio works or how we hedge our value portfolio, those things just take a lot of time and can be very esoteric and things of that nature. But in terms of our philosophy, in terms of the way we look at it, the way we structure portfolios, you know, the way we think, you're going to know exactly how that works, right? And it's not going to be an infomercial where you got to sign up to get the secret. It's very straightforward and very transparent. And like I said, the reason we do it that way is A, I think if you do a good job and you're passionate about it, I don't think you need gimmicks, okay? The other reason we do it is I don't want to seduce people into being clients. We're looking for long-term partners, and that's why we lead with philosophy, right? We're looking for matches in philosophy. If you come in the door and go, all I care about is you beating the S&P 500 every single year, I'll just tell you right now, you're not a client for us, okay? Because sometimes the way you outperform the best over the long run is by not worrying about outperformance over the short run. It just is. And at the end of the day, we manage retirement money. And so number one goal for us is to do no harm, to not blow anybody up, right? If a client leaves us 3 years from now because they don't think we've made them enough money, what does that mean? It means they're leaving with more money. It means that we haven't blown up their retirement. We haven't put them in a place where they can't recover, right? And what I always tell our clients, look, if you're not happy with us 3 years from now, I can tell you exactly why that's going to be. It's going to be because you don't think we made you enough money. Here's what we're never going to do. We're never going to have a conversation about why we lost 50% of yours, okay? We're just not going to expose you to that level of risk. Does that mean we'll make a little less sometimes? Sure. Sure. It's meant that this year. Now, we're really clawing back here pretty aggressively. I think our portfolios are now, if you put them together, I think we're now up 1.5%. Over the last month or so, we've clawed back about 7% versus the market. So I do think things are changing our way. And you can see on the radio show, like how many guys get on a radio show and tell you they're underperforming the market by 15% in the beginning of the year. Why am I okay admitting that? Because it hasn't resulted in a loss, and we outperformed by more than that last year, right? By not taking a loss, right? It's the math. Well, Zach, you outperformed last year, but you know this year you're really trailing. I was like, well, put the 2 years together and tell me what it looks like. Looks like outperformance, net of fees. Not huge, not where I liked it, not where it was coming into the year, but it's risk management, right? Sometimes it's just no good. And when you're managing retirement money, it doesn't mean it's going to be right. It just means you got to do what's not going to kill them, right? Making 12% in a year where the market's up 18 has never blown up a retirement, right? Now, losing 50% when the market's down 60 has blown up a retirement. But I outperformed. Well, yeah, but half my money's gone. So anyway, we're looking for matches in philosophy, and I think that's the biggest thing you're going to get. You're going to get to know me a little bit better, certainly get to know our team better, but you're going to understand our philosophy and see if that matches with what you're doing. And like I said, it's free and it's no obligation. So I don't even know how many spaces we have left. We're still limited for some reason. We can't get more than 125. Oh, because I think to go over 125, we got to pay for it. And I'm not paying for it. Anyway, but we do still have plenty of spaces left. Usually our last week, whatever we have signed up going into it, doubles in the last week. Right now, I think we've got 70 people signed up. So chances are, if you wait till the end, you won't make it. But even if that's the case, we can sign you up for the next one. So anyway, you can give us a call, 866-779-RISK, or just, I think the easiest way to do it is just go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com, sign up. Right before the presentation starts, you're going to get emailed the link, and you log on. And then we do a Q&A after that. Obviously, you're not obligated to do that, but people are like, well, what do you discuss in the Q&A? I go, anything, any question you want to throw at me regarding, you know, politics, finance, investing, emerging market, whatever it is. If you can't tell, I like talking about this stuff. So we actually, I think the last one, I think the Q&A session went like an hour. We had some macro nerds on there like me, and so we kind of got after it. Here's another example I wanted to bring up. And I think it ties right in to the misinformation in the housing. And for those of you that weren't there, didn't hear me, I just want to reiterate that. When you see them saying the median home price is up, okay, it is a completely misleading and useless fact. Housing prices are down, okay? The reason the median price is up, because virtually no houses on the low end of the price scale are moving. That has been the section that is most impacted. The only houses that are moving are ones much higher on the pay scale. So you've got a scenario where, you know, to our estimates, you're looking at about 12 to 15% decreases from the top in housing in most markets we're looking at. And yet, when you hear the official data released, it's telling you that houses are up 4% year over year. Median prices are up 4%. And like I said, all that is reflecting. People are going, housing market's bottomed. I told you housing wasn't go down. Guys, they don't know what they're talking about. I don't disagree with them. They're just wrong. Okay. They're getting tricked by the calculation, and it's not intended. It's not a conspiracy. It's just the way we look at houses. What is happening right now is so abnormal that the typical way we look at housing valuations doesn't match. It just doesn't work. It doesn't jive. It's giving you a false reading. Right? So, and I just want to just think about this. So if best analogy, let's say 100 homes sell. 50 houses sell evenly between prices of $250,000 to $500,000. And the other 50 houses that sell happen between prices of, well, we go say $250,000 to $550,000. And then the other 50 houses that sell are uniformly between $500,000 and $750,000. What is the median going to be? If it's perfectly uniform, the median is going to be 500. Okay, now what if we take that same data set and say 20% of houses that sold were between 0 and 50, or between 250 and 500,000, okay? And 75% of houses sold, let's go 20%. 20% of houses sold are now between 250 to 500, and 80% of houses sold are now between 500 to 750,000. Okay. We could look at that whole data set, and all of those houses could be down 15% from the top. But just because now 70% of the houses we're counting that sold are above, 80% of the houses that sold are above 500,000, the median price is going to be considerably higher, even though all of the prices have fallen. So I hope that explains it, and you can explain that to other people. Well, housing's firmed up. It actually moved up. No, it hasn't. It just has not. You can see it on Zillow. You can see it on Redfin. You can go look at it. It just hasn't. You go look in the Phoenix market, Seattle market, Oregon, all up and down the West Coast. I'm a little less familiar with the Midwest. I think from my understanding, it's held in there a little bit better. But we see very similar trends in real estate in New York, up and down the East Coast. Okay, it's just not. It's not true, and it's not due to trickery or a conspiracy. It's just not true. Similar situation I saw, and again, this is another part of understanding the process of how we go from growth into recession. And just know that there are going to be a lot of data misreads, because you start decelerating going into a recession. That's not the normal state of the economy, right? The normal state of the economy is expansion. And to be fair, that's what a lot – now, if the economy is expanding roughly 80% of the time, most of our metrics should be built on what conditions look like during an expansion. The problem is that a lot of those metrics will give you a lot of false readings once you're going into recession. Another example of it, saw a USA Today article. Actually, somebody, a Know Your Risk Radio listener out there, you know who you are, tagged me on it on Twitter and said, hey, is this real? It was a USA Today article that said, since May, wage gains have outpaced inflation. Now, here's why this is a misleading and laughable argument. Okay. Since May. So what are we talking about? We're talking about, see, May, June, July, August, four and a half months. Okay. So 4.5 months means nothing, first of all. Second of all, it's coming off of the tail. If you add in those 4.5 months to the previous 2.5 years, you have seen the worst real wage gains in history over a 2.5 to 3 year period of time. Now, wages have gone up, but in relationship to inflation, it has been the worst on record. Okay. Now, it flips slightly positive there for 4.5 months. What else happened during that period of time? Oil got killed. It got down to the low 60s. Where is oil back now? Back above 90. So the conditions that created that brief little respite, they're gone. It's gone. I'm not saying it was all oil, but trust me, the vast majority of that was oil. So you're just going to keep seeing misleading article. And don't sit there and think to yourself, don't go down the rabbit hole I've got. Now, I'm sure there's some of this, okay? But what was the old adage? Don't ever chalk up to conspiracy that which can be explained by incompetence or stupidity, right? And I think that that's what it is. The other thing that comes to mind is you pick the data, you pick the date, you pick the argument, you pick the data, you can pick the argument, you can pick the debate. Just let me pick the dates and I'll win every single time, right? You want me to show you a growing economy. If you don't care about my timeline, I can make things look great 18 million different ways. What are the trends in place? They're all negative. And I think we know that. And I think the biggest sense of, even with our own clients, I think the biggest sense of concern or the biggest sense of confusion is, yeah, Zach, but look at the stock market. Guys, it happens every time. The market always continues up after the economy has started going back down the other side. And what I've been telling you for the last year and a half to 2 years is, I hoped this wasn't the case. I thought things would decelerate quicker, but I was also prepared for this to be the longest, hardest slog of going from growth into contraction, into recession, because of a couple factors. A, right close to the top of this thing, you dumped in the biggest amount of money we've ever seen. We all know that story. But B, you've also come off the longest, biggest bull market that has taught people over and over and over, when things are down and people are getting scared, that's when you want to buy. Things are going to go right back up. Well, what is decidedly different about this time and so many of those other opportunities or those situations in the past? In the past, rates were zero. The Fed was buying bonds. Money was constantly flowing into the economy, right? Now, today, the opposite is happening and everybody acts as if the same thing's going to occur, even though earnings are already dropping. And these are just the signs you look for. Does that mean I'm 100% right? No. Does it mean you should probably be managing risk here? Boy, I would think so. Especially coming off the biggest and longest bull market in history. The financial nihilism you see out there and people like, how about this one? Well, the market's going to rise. Are you kidding me? Are you looking at these rates? Are you looking at the dollar index? And are you looking at the S&P still trading at 25 times earnings when I can make 5.1% in a risk-free two-year treasury? What you see happening out there writ large right now is the opposite of risk management. And look, I don't care if I'm wrong. We don't make investment decisions or financial decisions based on how we know things are going to turn out. We make them like we make every other decision in life. Does this seem like a good idea? When I run this through historic back tests, would this have been a good idea? Is this wise? And what I will tell you is throughout economic history, when you're looking at the data sets that we're looking at and then throw in valuations, in the midst of all of this nonsense, you got the second highest, most highly valued stock market in U.S. history. While earnings have already started declining and Fed funds rate up 550 basis points. I could end up being wrong, but my clients are in a position to, hey, if we're wrong, will probably make 5 to 8% less than the market. If you're wrong, you could ruin your retirement. I don't know why that's a risk anybody be willing to take. I don't know why, especially, like I said, most of you are sitting out there in the typical mutual fund, you know, stock, bond, guys, I'll leave that to the next segment, because I had a phenomenal conversation with a brand new client this week that was, his experience is what I've been talking to you guys about on the last 7 years on the radio. And it's so frustrating to me. And it was frustrating to him as well. You know what? I don't want to jump ahead. I'll save that for the next segment. So as always, I want to reiterate again. Guys, it's not fake cake. It's not a fault, right? I'm not Billy Mays trying to sell you. What I'm telling you is, and look, maybe you don't even go through us. Maybe you implement some of our strategies on your own. Just educate yourselves, okay? We have this free seminar coming up, the Webinar Roadshow. Coming up this week, Thursday at 3? I think it's Anyway, I believe it's this Thursday at 3 p.m. Got a lot of stuff coming at me right now. I believe it's this Thursday at 3 p.m. Just go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. They have the thing. They have the dates there and the time. They'll tell you all that stuff. Enter your information. You don't have to give us social security. Just your email address. We email you a link to the webinar, 45 to 50 minutes long. We just walk you through our whole philosophy. It's not bait and switch. Just showing you, look, by implementing these certain tools, here have been the results. You can drastically reduce your risk exposure, reduce your costs, and increase your upside potential. We do it every day. It's not, like I said, it's not smoke. Okay, it just so happens that the average retail portfolio is the most inefficient portfolio in this environment, and it wasn't structured for this environment. It was structured for the 40 years of declining interest rates due to solid growth and low inflation. That is not what we're in. We've turned the corner. If you're running around in that portfolio, you're wearing your ski outfit to Hawaii. You're showing up on the ski slopes in Bermuda shorts. It makes no sense. We've been telling you about the coming bond bloodbath. You just got smacked last year. Now, top to bottom, treasuries are now, TLT's 20-year treasury, TLT's now at 90. It peaked out at 176. Long-term treasuries are down almost 50% in value over the last, 18, 19 months. We were telling you. We've been telling you for years. There's a better way to do it. You know what our bond alternative strategy has done over the last 16 months? I think it's up 1%. I mean, I'm not crowing about a 1% gain. But if I got to pick between a 25 to 40% loss and a 1% gain, I'm not an idiot. Oh, by the way, bond replacement strategy destroyed the average bond portfolio since 2010 all the way up to last year too. More than doubled the performance in the up years. And hasn't lost anything in the down years. There's just a better way to do it. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the website, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Sign up for a free, no obligation link to our webinar that's happening this week. Walk you through our process, show you how it works, show you how we do things. At the end of it, if you don't want to talk to us, fine. If you do, you can talk to me or one of our advisors, and we can put together a plan for you. We build the plan for you. We send it to you. We give it to you. Not in PDF form. We just send it. There you go. Talk you through it. Let us know if you'd like to move forward. Okay. Like I said, not trying to sell anybody. Looking for partners. Partners in philosophy. So you won't want to miss that. Coming up this week. Again, go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Sign up for the webinar. Anyway, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And I want to finish up one segment here before we're not going to be able to air the interview, but we'll talk about it. Anyway, stick with us through break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe to knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
If you retired ahead of there, is your portfolio positioned for a successful retirement?
Well, with the state of the economy right now, risk management has never been more important. Join Bulwark Capital's Zach Abraham for his free live webinar this Thursday afternoon at 3 Pacific to learn how their risk management strategy and active management could potentially lower portfolio volatility for you.
Todd, protecting retirement portfolios against loss is our number one focus. Our live webinar breaks down the retirement planning process, which is especially important during the threat of a recession, uncertain interest rates, and increasing market volatility. Don't just ride it out. We actively manage every portfolio looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give you as much upside as possible.
Learn about Bulwark's risk management strategy and performance this Thursday afternoon at 3 Pacific. This live webinar is free, but space is limited. Register now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for sticking with us. Okay, going to make this short. Only about 6 minutes left here, but I just want to tell this story. Had a really interesting chat with a new client of ours, just in the process of moving over to us now. I believe it was like a, $4 or $5 million portfolio. And he said, look, Zach, I think his advisor is retiring, something of that nature. And he's like, you know, I got to find a new guy. And he goes, but I'm also looking for something different. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, look, it's not horrible. He goes, but we've been with this guy since about 2002. We've been in a very conservative portfolio. And I go, what do you mean by conservative? And he goes, 50-50 stocks, bonds. And I go, okay. And I go, and he goes, and over that time, I just haven't been too happy with the performance. And I go, let me guess. You're right around 4% net of fees. And he starts laughing and he goes, that's exactly where we were. How'd you know that? And I go, well, because we track these things. We know these things. And he goes, I didn't really pay attention because I was adding money to it. You know, it was growing and all that kind of stuff. But he goes, went back and looked at it and he goes, you know, is it bad? And I go, no, listen, he didn't pick you bad stuff. If we look at the average 60-40 or 50-50 portfolio, 60-40 averaged about 5% since the year 2000. It was 6% net of fees. 50-50 was about 4.8% net of fees, 5% net of fees, right in that ballpark. And he goes, was it always that bad? And I go, no. The reason they put you in that 60-40 portfolio, 60% stocks, 40% bonds, is from 1980 to 2000, that portfolio averaged 12.5% a year and never took a single hit or a single year hit more than 13.5%, right? So you average 12.5% gains, which doubles your money about every 5.5 years, I want to say, 5.5, 6 years. Pretty dang good gains considering 40% of it was in bonds, right? And then from 2000 to today, that same portfolio has averaged 5 and has been down 25% or more multiple times. So the portfolio they're all recommending to you, they recommended it to you because for 20 years, it averaged 12.5% gains, never dropped more than 13.5. Over the last 20 years, it's done pretty much the inverse. Okay. And it ain't going to get better. Why do I say that? Because we've turned the corner. We're going to be battling inflation for a while. Okay. You've had cyclical, historical, all-time lows in interest rates. Okay. They are going to, now, I think they're going to drop at some point here in the next year and a half due to recession. But when they come out, you look at our debt loads, look at deficits we're running, we have to run at higher interest rates. And the higher they go, the more bonds are going to get killed. And the more stock valuations are going to get pressured. This is one of the reasons we've been telling people, if you've been out there in these asset allocated model portfolios, okay, if this is like other inflationary periods in the time, the last main one we have in this country was from 1966 to 1981, 15 years. Over that 15 years, inflation averaged 9.5%. Meanwhile, the stock market went nowhere. Bonds were down like 50 to 60%. Okay, if your portfolio is flat to down 10 to 20% over a 15-year period of time, when inflation has averaged 9.5%, guys, that's the equivalent of being caught in the Great Depression. That's like a wiping out of 90 to 95% of your purchasing power. It's devastating. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't think we're looking at as extreme inflation as we saw in the 70s. I'm not being a Chicken Little. What I'm saying is what you've seen over the last 20 years is not the apex of pain in the 60-40 asset allocated portfolio. I think it's a foretelling of the next 10 to 15. And let's say it doesn't get any worse. Let's say you start averaging six. Go run the numbers of what 6% annualized gains will be. And I don't think there's any way in the world it averages that over the next 6 to 12 years. But let's just say it does. Well, let's say inflation averages 4.5 to 5 over the same period of time. Go run those numbers. It ain't gonna work. And take it from the guy that was been warning you about the bond bloodbath for 7 years. The reason that portfolio works so well is what the stock market did so well. You know the average return on bonds when you increase over that same time period, when you include capital appreciation due to lower rates, you were in a good bond portfolio, you're making 8 to 9. Over the last 20 years, you averaged what, 3? That ain't changing. You got to be able to think outside the box and do something different, guys. And like I said, we've been warning you about it. It's happened right in front of you. And unfortunately, so many of you are not going to get it until you see the market down. Until you're like, oh my gosh, so much of those gains I got over the last 5 years are gone. Now, do I know for a fact that's not going to? No, but when you're looking at this environment, I've used this analogy 100 times. If I see 50-mile-an-hour winds outside and dark clouds everywhere, I'm not walking outside in a tank top and flip-flops. Does it mean a hurricane's going to touch down? No. Does it mean a tree's going to fall on me? No. But is it what? No. Especially when you look at the valuations of these stuff. Record in affordability and housing. Second most expensive stock market in U.S. history while the ground underneath us dissolves. You don't have to take it, guys. And you also don't have to pass off on growth and gains. There's a better way. We can increase your upside, drastically reduce your risk, lower your cost. It's called risk management. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Sign up for the free roadshow coming up this week at bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You're not going to want to miss it. No obligation, no cost. You see our philosophy in action. Get to know us better. Leave with no obligation. It's a great way to kick the tires. Gotta run out of time. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.